Hey there, folks. Welcome to another episode of Steamroller. I'm Matt.
I'm Jesse.
And today, this is our second episode. We're here to, as we described before, talk about the issues.
The issues. Nothing but. Yeah.
You know, Jesse, last time we got together, you mentioned awarding an honorary Oscar every episode, and I thought it was a great idea. Brilliant idea.
Okay.
And I thought about that. I had a chance to think about it over the week, and I have my first pick for an honorary Oscar.
Okay.
All right. You ready for this?
I'm ready. Let me hear it.
Okay. I retroactively award The Shawshank Redemption Best Picture of 1994. I believe it was 1994. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie before.
Yeah.
But it's just great. It's one of my all-time favorite movies. And I think it's actually one of everyone's all-time favorite movies. I remember seeing that it was like number one on IMDb, like the top 500 movies.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty solid. Yeah. You know, since we're talking about honorary Oscars, you know, we're in that segment of the show. I have a nomination I'd like to throw out there.
Oh, please do tell.
Okay. I'd like to nominate for best actor, the Noid from the Domino's Yo Noid commercials. Yeah.
Oh.
Because I feel like he prematurely got his due. I actually just read this thing recently.
Oh my gosh.
I just read this thing recently that the only reason they discontinued the Noid was because some guy was named Noid or something and like held up a Domino's. He held like the people at gunpoint or something.
I read that.
Do you remember that?
He was a diagnosed schizophrenic, I think.
Yeah.
And he thought that Domino's was specifically like talking about him.
Yeah.
Avoid the Noid.
Avoid the Noid.
Just like, oh, those sons of bitches. Yeah. And so you know what? That I thought Shawshank was a pretty good pick, but the Noid, you know, I didn't even think about that. I mean, here I am, you know, awarding an Oscar to a movie, and Jesse goes and just right just, outside the box.
I'm just thinking outside the box, you know.
Brilliant.
That's taking it to the next level.
Wow.
Other business idioms.
Wow.
And such. Yeah.
So you feel like the Noid, he was prematurely pulled out of the limelight of fame.
I kind of do. I mean, I think we're all familiar with the old NES game based on it. You know, it's like he didn't really get his chance to live in the limelight. He had this like super shitty video game. He had these like weird, like partially claymation cartoons, like or commercials.
Yeah, I remember.
I don't know. It was really bizarre, but I feel like there was something there.
I remember that
America
game
was
too.
Ready.
I remember playing that game a long, long time ago. I mean, here's the Noid, you know, who has this legitimate shot at stardom. You know, you look at him and you're like, this guy's going places. And then some, you know, some guy, he kind of ruins it because now you associate Noid with, you know, this fellow who, you know, held up a Domino's pizza at gunpoint.
Yeah.
You know, meanwhile, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog keeps getting like, Sonic the Hedgehog is basically like, you know, the Adam Sandler of the video game character world, where you're like, God, how does this fucking guy keep getting games?
Why?
You know, like his last seven happening? Games in a row were just dog shit, but they just keep. It's like, you had some really good stuff in Sonic 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Sonic and Knuckles. Oh, man.
Remember that? It was great.
Great.
Nothing
great.
Like that ever coming
That's
again.
That's basically
but,
your,
you know.
Your Billy Madison, your Happy Gilmore, your Big Daddy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then you get all the 3D Sonics and you're like, well, he's just trying to find, he's trying to work it out. And
we'll,
he's like,
we'll get there.
It's not, you know, getting there.
We give us another 15 years. We'll get it. Like, we'll get it.
You know,
don't worry.
15 years later, still not there. You know, the Noid, though.
Garbage.
You know.
Yeah, the Noid.
You know what the Noid needs is a Birdman.
He does.
he needs a Birdman-like, you know, game slash commercial to bring him back into the limelight.
The timing is right in his career.
This place is terrible. I'm the Noid. We should have done that reality show. Oh, that's a great one. Wow. What was I thinking? Shawshank Redemption.
That's a great movie, though. I mean, I don't want to diminish, you know, what you were trying to accomplish. Yeah, here. What a movie.
I love that movie. I mean, it's like one of those movies that makes every guy cry. And you're like, no, it's okay. It's okay, though, because it's about hope, you know? This guy sent to prison wrongfully for like 20 years and never really loses his hope. You know, he gets out. He overcomes the adversity, which is, you know, he has emotional walls as well as physical walls. And Stephen King wrote the story that the movie was based on. Mm-hmm. And I'm a huge Stephen King fan.
Yeah.
The Shawshank Redemption was nominated for, I believe, Best Picture, Best Supporting Actor, Morgan Freeman. Or that might have even been Best Actor. Best Adapted Screenplay. I think Best Film Editing. Best Score.
Wow.
And it didn't win any.
What?
Any of those. Yeah.
Really?
Because...
Holy shit.
Because Shawshank Redemption, unfortunately, was going up against Forrest Gump that year. You've got Tom Hanks riding the wave of Philadelphia from the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like, you know, and that when Tom Hanks won for Philadelphia, people were like, whoa, Tom Hanks just won an Oscar.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, he was nominated for Big.
Was he really?
He was nominated for Best Actor for Big.
I didn't know that.
Never knew that. I thought the first time he got nominated was for Philadelphia, and then he won. Uh-huh. But yeah, Big. And, you know, you think back and you're like, oh, you know, he's really good in that movie. That's a good movie, too.
Yeah.
But here, you know, he's coasting on the success of last year, and Forrest Gump is a great movie, too. I love Forrest Gump, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, if you could go back and really just watch The Shawshank Redemption, it's such a good movie. Morgan Freeman is amazing. Everyone is amazing in that movie. The whole ensemble, everyone plays their part just perfectly.
So it was Forrest Gump, like, won all of those categories over
pretty
Shawshank?
Pretty much all of the categories Shawshank was competing in, Forrest Gump just...
just kicked it.
Yeah.
Squaw in the nuts.
Yeah. Bummer.
Wow. I mean, Forrest Gump's a great movie, too.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't, and I'm not trying to, like you said, we're not trying to discredit Forrest Gump. I love Forrest Gump. It's just too bad. And they were both adapted from books, you know?
Yeah.
They were both about overcoming adversity in a way. So it's just too bad they had to be made the same year, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's too bad they didn't make, Forrest Gump the same year as, you know, Shakespeare in Love.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually like Shakespeare in Love, but that beat out Saving Private Ryan.
Wow.
And for me, I love Saving Private Ryan. I'm a World War II guy, you know, so.
A buff,
that's
maybe.
A buff, as some would say. That's where I stand on that.
Yeah. Well, you know, those things happen, I guess.
I guess, you know. That's the world we live in.
It is. It's twisted out there.
And that's why we do this. So this week, the Steamroller Honorary Oscars go to, respectively, The Shawshank Redemption, Best Picture, 1994. And I hope I'm right on. I'm pretty sure I'm right on the date. And
right.
The Noid. What category? For the Noid, just Best Actor, just ever.
Best costumed pizza chain mascot.
Yeah.
I guess. They have an Oscar for that, right?
Yeah, I mean, they've got an Oscar for everything.
They do. I mean, why not? They're the Oscars. I'm actually looking up Shawshank Redemption right now.
Nice. So if you're out there, Mr. Noid, you know, and you've got, you know, like half a shotgun barrel in your mouth and you're thinking of ending it all, just know that there are people out there that are just, they would accept your comeback with open arms.
Please, I really hope you're listening to this podcast right now, Mr. Noid.
Don't do it.
Don't do it,
Mr. Stop. Noid. All right?
Yeah. We need you. Shawshank Redemption, 1994,
awesome,
by the way.
Awesome. Yeah. Feel pretty good about that.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, you know, that was directed by Frank Darabont, who has adapted 3 Stephen King stories, and he did The Mist, which I know a lot of people were not a big fan of, but I got to tell you, that ending was just perfect. I think that there's no better way they could have ended that movie. Stephen King even said, wow, I wish that I'd thought of that ending.
Yeah, I remember in the Mist movie, there's like that like older lady who suddenly becomes like this crazy. She's like becomes the single antagonist of the movie that's like ruling this like evil army of like trying to like. Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy. You know, like, whoa, how did that little old lady get so, you know, intense? I don't know.
Religion. Religion, that's how.
Oh, yeah.
It does right. Crazy things to already crazy people. I feel like with organized religion, it's like meth, you know?
Mm-hmm. If
you already have an unstable person and you introduce meth into the equation, you're asking for a bad time. Same with like organized religion. You know, people that are already sort of like fringe society members, you start telling them about, you know, the Bible, and that's over, you know.
Yeah, they're gonna use whatever they can to justify their crazy feelings.
and I'm not anti-religion, you know. I just feel like
I'm a little bit. No.
it's just like anything. It's just like anything in the world. You just put it in the right hands. You know, you give the concept of religion or faith. You put it into the hands of a really good critical thinker, and they use it wisely, you know. And just like, you know, if you hand a weapon, let's face it, religion is very dangerous. It can be extremely dangerous,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the wrong hands. Just like a pistol, a shotgun, you know.
Totally.
But you put it in the hands of somebody who, you know, isn't a total idiot, and they know what they're, you know, okay, I'm not going to point this at people.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I'm not going to run out on the street and start yelling at people because they don't believe in the same faith as me. I'm just going to go about my own business, and whatever happens, happens.
Yeah. I feel like religion's a good example of, yeah, I kind of have this like theory that I don't really have a name for it. I guess it's kind of this like this group mentality, pretty much anything, anywhere, anything that comes up is cool in its own way until too many people are into it, and then it fucking sucks. Like think of any band that you really like, you know, like it's like, oh, they were so much better when they were, you know, playing tiny clubs and, you know, were unheard of, and now they're like sellouts and shitty, you know. Like that's so common to say, and I feel like that is it's the same kind of thing. Like, you know, when something is small and enjoyed by a small amount of, you know, a small group of people, it's like, oh, it's still cool and it's unique and you know, it's got room to grow. But once like there's some threshold that when too many people like your thing, all of a sudden it becomes super lame. And I think religion, most of those big religions out there, like they have too many people that are into them. So they're fucking lame.
And it leaves too many loose interpretations, you know, like with the core of any idealism or any concept, you know, let's pretend you and I invented the religion of steamroller, the church of steamroller. All right. And we you know, and you and I would come up with a foundation and a book, and it's like, oh, this is perfect. The two of us wrote the book. We know exactly what it is. And then, you know, two other guys are like, hey, man, that's pretty cool. You mind if we join? And we're like, sure, come on in. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, we teach them the rules, but they don't get it 100%. They're like right there.
Yeah.
And then two of their friends each join, and then the rules and the idealisms just dilute.
You know,
the more and more people that join.
Yes.
And, you know, before you know it, you've got a million people and they've completely like perverted the core concept, the core idea of what it once was.
Yeah. Right. Like even by like the thousandth person, it was diluted enough to be like really far from the original concept. And once you have a million people, like, whoa, it's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Nowhere near it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it actually reminds me of I read that Philip K. Dick short story called The Skull.
Oh, yeah?
And it's like about this guy who there's like this huge religion that, you know, is like basically takes over the world and is like corrupted and terrible and, you know, all this. It's like ruining the world, and they have the technology to send this kid. They just find this kid and they're like, we're going to send you back in time to this place where we know that the religion started from this like one guy, and you're going to kill him. You're just going to go back and you're going to find him. He's going to be in this place at this time and you're going to shoot him. And he goes back and all this stuff happens. Spoiler alert. You could probably guess he's the one. It turns out he's the guy
that
starts the religion. Yeah. But all he does is like say one. I can't remember. I wish I could remember it now. But all he does, he just says like one short phrase, kind of in, you know, semi in passing. And enough people hear it and it turns into this huge religion.
It just catches on like gangbusters.
Like gangbusters.
You know, I never read that story, but I once you started talking about it, I remember, I'd heard about that.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's a good story. It's kind of like, you know, summing it up in a minute, like I did, like it kind of seems cliche, but it's a cool story.
I mean, it's one of those, oh, but what if he'd never gone back in time? But then how would have,
but
you know,
who then and how
and what? So, you heard it here first, folks. Jesse actually is Jesus Christ. He's going to go back in time. He's going to grow his beard out, and he's going to be like, where's Jesus Christ? They're going to be like, what? This guy's Jesus Christ. That's basically what he said.
Yeah, my massive unkempt beard.
Pretty much verbatim. I feel like these people are starting to realize that the world is changing, mm-hmm. and this way of thinking is on its way out. So, and you're still going to find some people, you know, probably mostly in the South, that are just like deep rooted in their racism and their homophobia, but it's becoming so widely accepted by mainstream media and pop culture that. It's like the religious zealots are scrambling, you know. They're just like, oh my God, people are, they're not on board anymore. What's going on? We better come up with some pretty wacky shit.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like, you know, in the South's defense, they are pretty solid on fried food.
Yeah,
I will bring that up.
I will say that they may have some, maybe, and again, this is all speculation. This is all stereotypical speculation. They may have some issues when it comes to accepting equal rights for gays, mm-hmm. And other races, especially in Missouri right now. But I'll be damned if they don't know how to fry up some of the best damn fried food this side of the Mississippi.
Yeah, you know, it's sad that you know, being gay and eating fried food have to be mutually exclusive in the South,
right?
But, you know, times are changing, so we'll see. You know, there's a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, the future holds many, many great things.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in the Shawshank Redemption myself right now, and I feel hopeful.
Yeah,
feel hopeful for the future. Yeah.
You know what's funny about Hollywood? Well, besides just a ton of shit, but
what's that?
That movie was based off of the story Rita Hayworth and the Shawshank Redemption, because that's the first movie poster he gets is Rita Hayworth. And they ended up just taking the Rita Hayworth out of the title, because the director, he said he was getting calls from agents that were like, oh, I love this. I read the script. It's the best script I've ever read. I've got an actress that's perfect for the part, the lead role. And he'd be like, what? He's all, yeah, Rita Hayworth. And he's just like, you obviously didn't read the script. She's not a character in the movie, you know, so you are a liar.
Yeah, a phony in Hollywood? Get out of here. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
How can that be?
I know. It's like you said, times are changing. Well, for better or worse, times are changing.
Yeah. That was 21 years ago, just saying. Huh. So if the Shawshank Redemption was a person, it could drink alcohol now.
Drink alcohol.
Yeah.
We'd be like, what's up, Shawshank? What do you want to do for your birthday? We'd be like, I don't know. Get drunk, I guess. Like, right on.
Yeah. Right on.
That's what we had planned. Groovy.
Groovy, man. Yeah. But, yeah. 1994. What else happened that year? It was a pretty good year.
Let's see. I was in... Let's see if... I was in the sixth grade, I believe. Maybe the fifth grade. Fifth grade sounds actually right.
Okay.
So, wow, that was like 170 years ago. Obviously, it was not. Wow, 21 yeah. years. I was 11 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I was 9.
Wow. Ooh.
Yeah.
I feel old.
Sorry.
I feel old. That.
Yeah. 1994. I remember at one of my jobs that I worked a few years ago, I was a cashier, and I remember one of my coworkers I don't know how we got on the topic of birth dates or whatever. It must have been one of our birthdays. But she told me that she's like, oh, I'm turning, I forget what it was at the time, maybe 18. And she was like, oh yeah, I was born in 1995. And I was, and I just thought like, oh my God, that's crazy. I was 10 years old when you were born. The people that, you know, there was a time in my life where I can remember things, like in the 90s, like I remember listening to the radio and listening to grunge. And I mean, I was fairly young still, maybe like, you know, 10 to 15. But the people that were like born at that time are like reaching drinking age now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of, I guess I, you know, like Neil Young said, I, you know, old man, take a look at your life. I'm starting to do that.
Yeah.
I guess that's going to be the rest of my life is now, like, you know, seeing how old I am comparatively to everything around me.
Yeah, I can't help it. You know, I find that I keep, I don't feel old. Like, I don't, mm-hmm. you know, I've got, like, regular aches and pains from, you know, just wear and tear over the years. But I don't feel... You know, like, in my mind, mentally, I'm still like 16 years old, basically. And that, I mean, just, I'm not super mature. That's it. You know, I mean,
yeah.
If you're, that's basically what it is. I'm not, putting on a suit and going to work every day.
Yeah. I mean, you know? I still laugh at a good fart joke every now and again.
I mean, you know, every time. But I am getting to that point in my life where I am definitely starting to look at younger people and judge them harshly on them just being young, you know, and I'm just like, oh, God, you know, when I was that age, I blah, 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 X and Y, insert, uh-huh. you know, whatever rant here. and of course, like, this is just an argument that's as old as time, that kids have it really easy these days. And that's sort of a broad statement, because I feel like being a kid, I hated being a kid. It sucked. And, you know, I was very much aware how little, you know, control I had on my life, and I hated it. Hmm. You know, I hated being young and just having adults go, no, 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 you don't know what you're talking about. And I'd be like, well, maybe I don't exactly know, but I know how I feel, and you're not even letting me get there.
Mm-hmm.
So, fuck you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I totally relate to that. I hated that, like, being a kid and just, like, you know, the adults would just kind of, like, brush you off, like, oh, you're just a kid, huh? Look how innocent, and you're just being cute. Like,
you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. Run along and play now, you little, yeah. little scamp.
You little scamp.
And I, you know, I just felt helpless. I felt completely helpless and weak, and I just felt like an idiot most of the time.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, I understand where all that thought comes from adults, because pretty much every teenager I see nowadays, I'm just like, you're so fucking stupid. Look at you with your fucking sneakers and your iPhone. I think you're so cool, don't you, Patrick? But let me tell you something. You're not. Okay? All right? Okay, Patrick? Patrick is not a real person. I'm just inserting that name.
Right.
It could be anybody.
But seriously, though, fuck Patrick.
Yeah, Patrick.
Yeah.
Get out.
Get your act together.
Get out.
Get out of here.
You know, I never had a personal computer. I didn't own my own, as in a Matt Brendlin computer that was my own, until I was 29.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. And I never had a computer. Well, my dad got a computer for the house almost immediately after I graduated high school. and I thought, oh yeah, that's just super convenient. Thank you for waiting literally till the last second, you know, but whatever. And that was, you know, and I think he still uses dial up. This is not confirmed, but yeah. I do know that he, you know, I can't talk tech with that guy. You know, I can't do, like, over the phone tech support with my dad. I won't do it. I refuse to do it.
Just don't do it.
I refuse, you know,
yeah.
when I say, oh, you know, do you have any windows open? And he goes, oh, right next to the table. Yeah. And I'm just like, you know what? Good fucking luck. All right. I'm not doing this. Windows. Just get with the times, man. So it goes both way. I'm like, old people, they don't know what the fuck's going on. Young people, they're so stupid. I'm the best.
Me. I've got it going on.
I'm the perfect age.
You know, I actually, I read something somewhere on the internet, that the idea of, like, adults, kind of, thinking that kids are full of themselves and you know, thinking they're being little shits and dicks, dates back to, like, Socrates' time. There's, like, writings from, like, you know, fucking thousands of years ago that was, like, a thing, you know, that was still part of that society. Like, that's just, like, a thing forever. You know, every generation will be, like, this incoming generation, they're all, they don't respect authority, and they don't care about anything.
Oh, good. Good. So, I mean, that's comforting to know that we're on the right track. You know, we're doing what the Greeks did.
Everything's as it should be.
Obviously, they invented philosophy. And that's just super fucking smart.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Totally.
I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously. Among other things, yeah. But yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. They have some good food, too.
They do have some pretty good food.
They've things. There's good stuff that came out of there. Yeah.
Philosophy and food.
Yeah, that's it. That's a good society right there.
You should just start a Greek restaurant called Philosophy. You know what? I actually had a better joke, but it's fucking gone. So I'm sorry. I apologize, everybody. That was dumb. Philosophy and food. It's what? Greek. And they're like, well, I mean, yeah, but everyone has food. Yeah, I didn't think about that. Well, thanks.
It's there. There's something there. We'll let you, the home listener, come up with your own joke.
Yeah, if you can come up with a better joke, then we put it to you. It is your responsibility.
Yeah.
To write us.
Send us an email.
Send us an email, and we will totally steal that joke and take full credit for it.
Yeah, make us look good.
Yeah.
Make us funny.
This is the disclaimer, so you can't, you know, later on say, oh, they stole my joke. And it's like, yeah, well, we fucking told you we were going to. So, you know, I guess it all works out in the court of law.
You sending an email is a legally binding contract that we can just steal your shit, you know, and use it for whatever we want.
That by sending an email, you agree that all contents of the email now belong to Steamroller, the podcast. So that's it right there. That's a verbal contract.
Yep. Boom. Legal in every state, including yours.
Hey, you know, I have a funny story for you.
Okay.
So,
shoot. Yeah.
I went to the gym the other day because I just do that all the time. Just mm-hmm. every second that I'm not doing other stuff, I'm at the gym, just gymming, just lifting the pounds and running the, you know, kilometers or whatever the kids do. And I was leaving the parking garage, and I think the etiquette for when you're backing out of a parking space is there somebody coming? Okay, there is. Now, should I wait and see if he wants to take this space and he'll stop? Or if not, he's just going to keep going. Either way, he has the right of way since he's already driving.
Yep.
I was the person driving, and this guy in an Audi just sort of like backs out of his space without giving me the, oh, do you want my spot or are you going to pass me? No, he's just like, I'm just going to fucking back out, you know? And I actually had to like kind of stop short and, you know, reverse like a foot or two to give this asshole some room. And, you know, I was like, oh, okay, so I get it. You're driving an Audi. Then you're just better than everybody. That totally makes sense, you know? So just
whatever you
want
to do,
whatever you want. Yeah, let's just fine. So, you know, I this was my like pseudo passive aggressive way because I'm not like a full on road rager. I don't drive that often, first of all. Mm-hmm. And second of all, I'm never in like any real hurry to get anywhere. So, you know, if people want to drive crazy, yeah, it sucks. But, you know, they're going to die someday.
Yeah.
And I take comfort in that.
Yes. They're hurrying on to their death.
But I did want to let this guy know that, hey, you are a total piece of shit and you should die. And honking, I feel like honking now used to be, I mean, the horn on the car was invented as an alert device, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you honk and people are like, oh, what is that? Oh, no, did I screw up? But now I feel like society has been dumbed down to the horn. They hear a horn and they're just like, fuck you know, like honk honk, and they just honk back like that's an appropriate response. Like I've seen that where someone honks and the person honks back at them, and it's like, you're in front of them, so now the guy in front of you thinks you're fucking honking at them.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And what is this accomplishing? I'm getting off track here. The point is I didn't want to just honk at this guy because that's not going to solve anything, you know? I'm not driving a James Bond car. It's not like there's rockets located in my horn.
Right.
So what I did instead was I rolled down my window and started singing like as loud as I could out the window into the open air. So I know the guy could hear me, and I just made up this little song about how, you know, I'm in an Audi and I don't have to do anything anyone says because I'm a total douchebag piece of shit. You know, this I did this whole musical number, and we were both leaving the garage. So we both hit this light, and then we're at the stoplight, and I'm just singing my heart out. And people on the street are looking at me, and they like listen to the words, and then they like look at the guy's car, and they're like, "Oh, he's fucking singing a song about this guy in an Audi. That's pretty funny." And I don't know if this guy knew it. And it's in my opinion, it's kind of a perfect way, if you're not, you know, self-conscious about singing, it's a pretty perfect way to kind of take a jab at another driver, because for all this guy, you know, he probably just, it's white noise to him. He just like, I hear a guy singing, but then after a while, you know, the words sort of like get in there, and he's like, Audi, he's singing about an Audi, guy in an Audi, I'm driving an Audi, it's all coming together. And you know, we were stopped for a while, and I was just singing, and then we go through the light, and he pulls over and just lets me by, and I think that was me.
Yeah, he didn't want to be anywhere near you anymore.
Oh no. I made that happen.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I've never actually witnessed something like that happen.
What, someone singing?
Just someone singing out into the open air about the car in front of them that, you know, pulled some douche maneuver. You know, it's unfortunate for that guy because he happened to like cut you off, or, you know, in a parking garage, and now, you know, you're just gonna have to sit behind him. You know, it's easier to cut someone off and then just like drive away and, you know, in the flow of traffic, but he really couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And you were just like, oh yeah, we're stuck together, so I'm gonna fucking sing a song about
this is what's
you
happening,
being,
you know,
a dick.
This is, and I'm not embarrassed, you know. I mean, some people were probably walking by and going, this guy's fucking crazy, you know. Look at him singing, blech. But I don't care, you know. I don't care. I've been approaching this newfound honesty, and I'm gonna be honest with people, and you know, maybe, I mean, it could have gone, it went pretty favorably for me, but it could have gone another way. I mean, the guy could have just as easily have gotten out of his car with a baseball bat and started smashing my face in. So I guess you got to pick your spots. I mean, there's probably certain parts of the city where if I start singing about the guy in front of me, I will die. Or I should probably say, I do not recommend or condone the passive aggressive, you know, car singing, as it could, you know, potential side effects could include death or, you know, maiming or dismemberment or like total destruction over your vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah. Choose your battles. Yeah.
Those are words to live by.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not.
Well,
it worked out okay. I chose my battle and it worked out, but that was luck. That was all luck. I live by the luck of the draw. and you know, that same night I was driving home from the store and I got cut off by another guy in an Audi, and I, you know,
you already had the song queued up.
Fucking Audis, you know. I mean, what are you gonna do? You know,
what are you gonna do?
What do you do at that point?
You just take it, I guess. There's not really anything else you can do.
You just take it.
Go on with your life.
I mean, road rage is such a strange, I don't know. I just don't want to be, you know. Nobody likes sitting around in traffic and driving in 110 degree weather. So we're all angry. You know, we're all right on the edge. So. Well, you got to pick your battles. Yeah, I mean, Jesse's always two steps ahead of me, and I'm just repeating what he said. So,
No, we reached that conclusion together.
It's fine.
As a team. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess, like, I've definitely had my moments where I was, like, really angry in my car because someone did something. But, I mean, if you really think about it, everyone's the asshole sometimes, you know? I'm not perfect. I fuck up when I'm driving. I accidentally cut someone off, and I feel bad about it, or maybe I don't, but it happens.
Or maybe I don't.
I just do whatever. I'm just driving. But, I mean, I try and be considerate, and I try and follow the rules as best as I can, but, you know, shit happens.
Shit, yeah.
It just, yeah, you kind of have to give people the benefit of the doubt. I mean, if you're driving an Audi, you don't have an excuse. You're a fucking dick. But, but you know, sometimes you can give people the benefit of the doubt. No, even Audi owners, like, we accept all car brands and makes and models right here.
I mean, we were just talking earlier about, you know, accepting others and Audis. Yeah, we are, you know, we're going to get there. We're going to get there. I mean, shit, if I could afford an Audi, sure, man. Of course you're better than me. You're fucking rich. And we all know that rich people are better than everyone.
That's true.
I mean, I don't know. Rich is a relative term for me. You know, some people say, oh, it's only $300. And I say, oh, yeah, well, you know, might as well be $300,000.
Right.
With the way my finances go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not much of a road rager. I prefer to kind of sarcastically sort of verbally shame people eye to eye. Let's see. I don't know how much detail I can get into this, but let's say that I once was at a grocery store, and I witnessed the cashier checking this customer, you know, and he bought like a bottle of like in-house made freshly squeezed juice or something, but they'd mislabeled it. They put a label on that didn't scan. And so the cashier had a runner go talk to the guys who do the juice, and, you know, and they're like, oh, well, you know what? Don't worry about it. Just give them the bottle of juice, you know? So, and it's like a $15 bottle of, you know, fresh juice. And so they're like, oh, you get the juice for free, you know? And he's like, oh, that's great. And he goes, all right. So your total is, you know, like $27.13 or whatever, you know? And he goes, so would you like to make a donation to whatever thing they were collecting money for? Mm-hmm. And the guy goes, now. And I'm standing there going, you just got a fucking $15 bottle of juice for free. And you didn't even have to think about it. It's like donation. You're like, no. I donate to nothing. And I was like, you know, you can donate $5 and you're still coming out on top.
Yeah.
$10. But no, don't worry. You know, you just go on doing your own thing. You fucking prick.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, that's pretty crazy. $15 juice and still just like, nope.
It was just so funny because I don't know if he understood the irony of it. Mm-hmm. And again, like, he was like automatic. He wasn't like, do you want to donate? And he was just like, not today, which is what I hear a lot of people do.
Yeah.
You know, he was just like, no. And I, you know, those people.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess he's just, that's his go-to. No,
yeah, I guess.
I don't do that.
I don't do that.
Maybe he already donated, you know, $1 million to some children's hospital. But I mean, even so, if you get a free $15 bottle of juice, I'd probably kick down something.
Yeah. I think I would have donated $1. I mean, you were about to spend least 15 of those bad boys on a bottle of juice that would have lasted you, well, it would have lasted me like 10 minutes. I fucking love juice.
Yeah, I mean, like, he could have donated $1 and still bought himself a movie ticket, you know, or something. You know, like, that's $15. That's nothing to sneeze at.
Nothing to sneeze at.
I would not sneeze at that amount of money.
And, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe he, earlier that day, had gone into a children's hospital, and he was just like, here's $1,000. And that was like the good karma, like, oh, you're going to get a free bottle of juice later today. And that's just the universe, you know, giving you the balancing you out.
Mm-hmm.
But I highly doubt that that is the scenario that was playing out. Something, some intuition tells me that that's not what happened.
Yeah, right.
Because this guy, I mean, I mean, I know a jerk face when I see one, and this guy was a jerk face.
That face was one of a jerk.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I mean, even so, even if that was the case, like, oh, he made this donation and then he got a free juice, like, I mean, still, you gotta keep things in balance, yeah. You know, give back, give something back.
Give
I don't
something
know,
back.
Like, what reason do you have not to? I don't know. I guess, like, who knows? Anyway, he did what he had to do at that moment.
I guess so.
Life or death, I guess.
And, sir, if you're listening to this podcast, which is highly unlikely since you don't really give a shit about anything but yourself, obviously, I just want you to know, from me to you personally, fuck you. you are the worst kind of person. The person who, and, you know, I don't donate, you know, a lot of money, you know, but I try to give when I can. But if I get some free shit, you can bet your ass that I'm going to give at least something right there on the spot.
Yeah.
You know?
Kick down.
I mean, I'm trying to think of a good, something comparable to this, you know? You know, imagine if Bill Gates, if they were like, oh, Bill, could you? And he's just like, no. But you have, no. That's what you sound like. That's you. You're basically like, you're like a 3-year-old that you're like, oh, look at all the toys you have, Jason. Maybe Mark can, no.
Nah.
These are my toys. Fuck Mark.
It's like if you went to a restaurant and like you ordered something and they brought you your meal and they messed it up. Like you were like, oh, I don't want onions, and they still put onions in it. And they're like, okay, we'll just make you a new one. You can, well, you know what? Just keep this. We can't do anything with it. Just hang on to it. We're going to bring you another, we'll bring you the right thing. And, you know, they pack up the wrong meal in a bag, and you take it home. And like, as you're walking to your car, there's like a homeless man, like, you know, like just asking for some change, like, and you just walk right by him. No change, no meat. Like, you have this extra meal that you can't even eat. You know, it's
and then you just throw the food in a trash can.
Yeah, you just throw it away. Yeah, you just throw it away.
You just throw it right in the trash can.
Like, fuck this, I can't eat it. Onions in it.
Onions. That's you.
That's you.
That's you, buddy.
Jerk face.
All right, well, we'll be back right after these messages.
When you drive your car along that old stretch of road, what drives you? When you step on that gas, is that the car that accelerates, or is that your heart? When you signal for a turn, is that turn really signaling for you? Are you shifting gears too early, or is that early shift just gearing you too? The all-new 2015 Audi XR 3175 VW DT-104.2 LT. Because when you drive an Audi, everyone else is inconsequential. Real talk, you're rich. Run those losers off the fucking road and get on with your awesome life. Audi drivers are better than everyone. And if you don't believe me, you probably don't own an Audi. Your opinion doesn't matter, so fuck off. The all-new 2015 Audi XR 3175 VW DT-104.2 LT. You can literally shit on poor people.
Yeah, that was a...
Yeah, so I guess that was a commercial.
Yeah, that was pretty long.
Wow. Yeah, and it. Yeah, that's... I've never heard a commercial like that before.
Me neither. I think you said the word fuck.
I heard that too.
I heard that too. Boy, radio's getting pretty aggressive.
Well, you know, in this day and age, I guess it's anything to sell, what was it, Lexuses? Lexi? I don't know how you say the plural of Lexus. Maybe it's just Lexus.
Well, that was Audi.
Oh, that's right. That makes sense. I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention.
Yeah, I mean, we were getting coffee.
Yeah.
Great production room.
Yeah, the production values really can't be beat.
Whoever did that, obviously, is a stud. Yeah,
I tip my hat to you, sir or madame.
I'm a man of many hats, and I tip them all.
Consider them all tipped. Anyway, I guess that's going to do it for us today.
Yeah, that's the show.
Yeah. So thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah, everyone. We want to thank all, one or two of you for joining us today.
Yeah. And anyone that you've, told about the show that will obviously never listen, we appreciate you trying to show them the show. Getting the word out there, I guess.
That's what it's all about, is just finding an audience. Life is an experiment, and we're all scientists participating in it.
Well said. Well said. I guess that's it. So, on behalf of Matt and I, thanks for listening. And,
All right. Well, I'm Matt.
I'm Jesse.
And you've just been steamrolled.
Boom.